Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden. I'm working at
an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Okay, Chuck and Julie, I'm always watching. I go, oh, wait, that's good.
I like the younger version of
you. Yeah, me too. I like the younger version a lot better than the older version. But this is Chuck and Julie, too straight up. If you heard that voice, it's Brian June Depp. He's going to be our guest, but this show is brought to you by Julie.
By ColoradoCitizenPress.com. Check it out. They've got a great story about what we're going to be talking at 3:30 with Jimmy Mack about how basically dark Dem money and GOP establishment are meddling in the Colorado Republican primaries. Well, if you don't believe the Facebook scandal that Jimmy Mack uncovered, we'll fill you in on that. Also, later on in this show, so much to talk about today. We've got the court ruling on Judge Flynn. They told Sullivan, drop it for good. We'll have to see what happens with that. The Democrats, who's hoot and holler about police reform, blocked the Senate reform proposal, but wanted to bring on Brian because Brian...
And we were also brought by Senator Jennings, so you want to look like me when I was in my 20s. you'll want to go to Senator Jennings.
See Dr. Julie McCallum. So Brian, you had an article in American Thinker last week that was just like so on the head. I've been tweeting and posting all day. You know, you called it. You said the Dems are going to pivot to coronavirus again. The economy's coming back. The riots are sort of settling down. And now we're all going to die of coronavirus. And boom. New York issues a quarantine. Headlines all over the place. Coronavirus is surging. Trump is having to say the reason there are more cases is because we have more testing. How did you know this was going to happen?
Oh, it's too predictable. 90% of what you hear on the news is not about the actual news story. It's about influencing the November election.
Yeah.
If you look at everything through that lens, it all makes sense. Everything from the virus to how it's been handled to openings to closings to quarantines to hydroxychloroquine to the riots and protests, everything. It's all about the election. The number one goal of the media is to prevent Donald Trump's reelection. And if you view the news through that lens, everything makes sense. Otherwise, you say, hey, what's going on? This doesn't make sense. Why are people tearing down statues? Why is there anarchy and chaos? It's all about anarchy and chaos to influence the election. They're trying.
And I must admit, it's highly successful, although I wouldn't have... You know, if I was advising on the thing, saying, I know how we can get Trump. Let's riot and loot and attack people and burn buildings. Because then you think, yeah, we got to elect Democrats because they're for that. I mean, it's an amazing counterintuitive effort that worked out great. Donald's falling farther and farther behind.
Well, no, there's some new polls that haven't come
new polls.
Back
oh,
up.
Okay.
But.
Yeah, speaking of polls, they're touting these polls now that say that Joe Biden has a 12-point lead on Donald Trump.
Right.
And I'm in process of preparing an article on the polls. And if you look back 4 years ago, mid-June 2016, Hillary Clinton had a big lead on Donald Trump. By how much? 12 points.
Ooh.
Funny how that worked out.
Yeah. Well, and I think his polling, he's still polling about where Barack Obama was at this time in his
yes.
term too, right? So, and I thought there was, what is, I think, and here's why, Brian, I think in particular, you're right on the coronavirus thing, because probably alarming to the Democrats, Trump has like a 55% approval rating in Rasmussen on how he's handling the economy. And so what they need to do is make sure that nobody likes how he's handling the economy. And what better way to do it is to try to trash the economy. I'm going to predict they're going to, well, let me ask you, do you think they're going to try to push for lockdowns again? Or was that so unpopular? Or are they just going to do what I call the, you know, panic porn?
Well, it's got to be state by state. But if New York and California lock down, that's probably a quarter of the country's GDP right there. Throw in Michigan, Illinois, New Jersey, Connecticut, a few other blue states, and you really knock the GDP down. The rest of the country might be doing fine, but if the economic output of those states goes
right.
down, the GDP number, the unemployment number. Those are aggregates nationwide. Nobody looks at state by state. They look at the national number that comes out. And that's a good way to push that down. Trump was going to cruise to re-election on the economy. Best economy in 50 years, lowest unemployment numbers, minority unemployment, economic growth, new jobs, everything. And then funny thing along the way, this virus popped up.
Well, AOC kind of let the cat out of the bag on a tweet that she deleted, saying, hey, look, keep all these blue states closed down. Because, you know, a few jobs, a few people, a few suicides, just, you know, for the greater good. After the election, we can, you know, help everybody out.
Yeah, November 4th, the economy will reopen, and you won't need a mask, and you won't need anything. If Joe Biden wins the election, you watch how fast all this disappears.
Well, and Michael Hancock, Denver's Mayor Michael Hancock today is saying that he thinks we're all going to have to wear masks for the foreseeable future, right up until the election, Well, let me ask you this, kind of back up and ask you, you are a doctor. I know you're not an epidemiologist, pandemic doctor, but what's your explanation, if you have one, of some of the rise in cases that we're seeing and the rise in hospitalizations? Because I think what you want to look at is not just the rise in cases, because I think that's testing, but rise in hospitalizations, because there has been a rise.
Well, and the only guy I trust in the medical field, in the epidemiological field, is a guy who knows nothing about either, which is a former New York Times reporter, Berenson, who's really very good. But he was a little bit worried about Arizona when he was a little bit worried about, might be true. Oh, my God. We've heard it from a credible source.
Number one, I don't know what to believe in the media. When I hear these numbers, I'm very skeptical of whatever I hear, because the numbers have been wrong. The smart people predicted 2.5 million deaths, then it was 250,000, then it was 100,000, then it was 60,000. They've been all over the place. So I don't know what to believe. But yes, more cases is due to more testing. Right now, you can go to any of the labs in town and get a test. You go to LabCorp, you go to Quest. You don't even need a doctor's order. For $10, they will provide you with a doctor's order. You just give some justification why you want to be tested. Well, I think I was exposed, or, you know, I lost my sense of taste or something. You have a reason. But if you look back in March, April, you could not get tested unless you were admitted to the hospital.
Right.
If you had symptoms, if you had a cough, fever, short of breath, you showed up at the hospital, they checked your oxygen saturation was 95, they'd say go home. No test, do not pass go, do not anything. And they weren't testing those people, and they likely had it. Now anybody can get a test.
What I'm wondering about, besides the testing, okay, so they say hospitalizations are up. I'm wondering if they're playing the same game that they played with the death rate. So what we do know is now that hospitals have reopened, hospitalizations in general are going up, right? I mean, people now are going back to get all the procedures done that they weren't able to get done. So I'm wondering if they're testing everybody who comes in, and if they test positive for coronavirus, they're saying, oh, and they're implying that they were hospitalized for coronavirus, but actually they were hospitalized for a hip surgery that they had to postpone. And now, I mean, is that possible too? That was what I was wondering.
It's not possible. It's likely. in Colorado, there was someone, a gentleman that his blood alcohol was 7 times the legal limit, and he died from alcohol poisoning, and he tested positive for COVID.
Right.
He was counted as a COVID death. There were gunshot wounds in Washington, gunshot shootings and fatalities from that were counted as COVID. George Floyd tested positive for COVID. So if you take that logic, then the cop had nothing to do with it. His cause of death should be COVID, according to CDC recommendations, which is absurd. But if you follow the recommendations, yes. And hospitals are now open for elective surgery. Surgery centers, you don't have to get tested for the most part, but hospitals you do for elective stuff. And if it's 50% asymptomatic, you're going to get young people that come in for something they put off, you know, their ACL or this or that, carpal tunnel. They test them, and a bunch of them are going to be positive. They're not being hospitalized. They're not sick with it. The important number is how many are sick with coronavirus and need to be admitted for that, because they're having trouble breathing, because they need oxygen, they need a ventilator, that sort of thing. And those numbers don't seem to be going up.
No.
The ICUs are not at capacity. Yeah, hospitals are filling up, and hospitals are happy to admit anyone. They've been shut down for 2 months.
Right,
right,
other
right.
Than COVID patients, and they're struggling. They've
right. Yeah, I could show up and say, "Can you admit?" Up. They'd be like, "Sure, come on, come on in, come on
are
in."
You covered by insurance?
You.
Okay.
Well, let me ask you this: and what do you make? Do you think it's going to work? I guess is my question.
Oh yeah, no.
Because I submit that one of the reasons, you know, people don't like the way Trump has handled the riots and stuff is whoever is the leader, I think, ends up kind of catching the flak for that. And Trump has been Trump throughout this whole thing, which doesn't help. But I mean, that's who he is. But I wonder if the coronavirus, if people are going to buy it, or if people are just going to be like, no, you know, do not trash the economy. We don't need to do that again. And no, I don't.
And do you have a magic ball that
right,
tells
us? Right, you have a magic eight ball there.
I think reputable surveys are showing that people are not in favor of this. If you watch MSNBC or CNN, you know, everybody's in favor of Black Lives Matter, and everybody believes there were nooses at the NASCAR garages, and everybody buys into that. But no, reality is most people don't, and most people don't want the economy shut down. Yes, we shut things down initially, and for a few weeks that makes sense. We didn't know what we were dealing with. You want to flatten the curve. You don't want to overwhelm the system. But when that wasn't happening, then you gradually start opening things up. You look at New York. They had a 1,000-bed hospital ship that was never more than 30% full. Right. You had a Javits Center. You had Flushing Meadows. You had Central Park. All these makeshift hospitals that were never used. You had one in Denver at the convention center.
It's still there. It's still there. I think it like $60,000
well,
a week.
But it got over a fine for a collusion on an antitrust case. So right. it doesn't matter.
It's a big surge. But yeah. You know, meanwhile, the hospital capacity, even when it was bad, ICU capacity in Colorado was maybe 20% full. It really wasn't strained. The hospitals were preparing the pre-op area recovery room. These are all going to be non-COVID ICUs because, you know, there are going to be people getting ventilated in the parking lot. It was going to be so bad, but it never happened.
Right, right. What about in terms of, you know, Chuck and I talk all the time about, you know, what do you think? Is this good for Trump? Is it bad for Trump? Is Trump going
to win? Everything seems to be bad for Trump these days. I mean, the last election, everything was good for Trump. You know, McCain is not really here. Oh, no.
But it's hard to.
What do you mean bad for Trump? Look who he's running against.
Yeah, well, there's that. Yeah.
Well, how can anybody look? I mean, he's corrupt. He raped women.
Most Americans think he is corrupt.
He's corrupt. He's senile. He's senile. He has no principles. I mean, how can you not vote for him? I mean, that seems like one of the great. That's one of the great candidates of all time, when it really comes down to it.
He's behind the Flynn prosecution. He's the one.
Yes, right. Wasn't that great? Oh, Logan, let's get him on Logan. That was, you know, in any other world, those notes that, you know, suddenly just discovered, showing that Obama told him, be sure to get the right people. We know who those are. They struck the same Clinton people, you know, the ones we had that did such a good job on the
country. Andrew Weissman and his cabal.
Oh yeah, get them going on it too. And even more shocking to me, when I was watching Rod Rosenstein's testimony, he essentially acknowledged that no, there was no basis to appoint a independent prosecutor. There's no evidence of collusion. And no, there was nothing to expand the proof. Why I kept giving greater scope memos, scope memorandum, and I just signed off on whatever they handed me. I mean, it's just so shocking that you kind of go, is anybody else listening to that? And the answer is no.
Yeah, Mueller and Weissman wanted to expand the investigation, and Rod said, "Yeah, sure, no problem."
Yeah.
But there was no.
Write it up, hand it to me, I sign it.
Yeah.
You're exactly right. Special counsel investigation requires investigation of a crime, not national security issues. There was no crime alleged or found, and they knew that going in. They knew the dossier was bogus.
Right.
There was no basis for any of this, yet they proceeded anyway. So that's why there are memes today of Biden's face and Obama's face with the words treason and sedition, which I find very interesting.
Treason, what is it? I mean, treason is technically aiding in comfort to an enemy during times of war, so I'm not sure it fits the constitutional definition. But saying, I'm going to make sure that my person coming in doesn't get to be president. Richard Nixon, what did Richard Nixon do? Holy goshly, girl, Wilkers. I mean...
Well, don't forget, it's enemies foreign and domestic. So that's the oath they took to protect the Constitution against enemies foreign and domestic. And you can have domestic enemies. So that's maybe where treason comes in. But that's wishing too much to see.
Way too much.
You know, and you, but it goes back to what you said. And I think you're so, again, spot on with this. You got to look at everything the media does is to make sure that Donald Trump does not get reelected. And that's
correct.
Why we're not going to hear about this. That's why we're going to hear about riots. Let me tie this
well,
in.
Well, let me tell you, one of the fun things I like to do every morning when I get up and kind of go over the news is before I hit the CNN one, I guess what the headline will be. You know, is it going to be COVID? Is it going to be the riots? I mean, and about 80% of the time you get it right. Sometimes they fool you and they go after Trump in some other way.
No, that's the storyline. When there were protests and riots and all that, there was never any concern about social distancing, about masks. As soon as Trump announces a rally, that's all we hear about.
Right.
And if you
right.
go to his rally, you're going to die. That's basically the story that cable news put out, Fox included.
You know, oh, sure, Fox. Well, are you kidding me?
Fox is tricky.
They're no better.
What do you make of all, here's, you know, I think that all of this statue tearing down obviously has a lot to do with that. I mean, they don't even care whose statue, and what, in Wisconsin, they tore down the statue of a guy who died fighting slavery, right? They don't even care. They just tear
the
statue.
That's too nuanced for them.
It's too nuanced. Statute is a statute. It's got to come down.
You know, Abraham Lincoln freed the slaves, but that's a little bit.
But I
None of these people studied history, obviously. They went to, you know, Oberlin and Swarthmore, and they studied social justice.
Well, and I think it ties into, though, to the whole NASCAR thing, right? Where, okay, you look at it, and Conservative Treehouse was all over this. It's showing pictures of the handles. It wasn't a noose. It was a rope with a handle at the end so you could pull it, right? So you could pull the door down. They showed them in all of the other bays. They found pictures going back, in their case, to like 2017, not just 2019.
Yeah, but this isn't real hard to figure out. I mean, a noose is something that's got a loop in it, and if you pull it, it constricts. That's where they use it to execute people. You drop down, it gets tighter. Now, you don't want to use that for a garage opener where you're pulling down, and so it chops your fingers off or something. So it's a loop. It's not a noose. It's a loop.
It's a small loop. You can
see. Yeah, about that big, you know?
It's your hand through it, not your head.
Yeah. It was in all the other bays also. I mean, but yet they run with that. They don't care. They don't care that it wasn't even true. And somehow or another, it all gets tied in and it's Trump's fault somehow. And I think you're right. It all goes back to the more they can stir up racism, then without any evidence, they say, well, Trump's a racist. And people, I think.
Yeah, but Bubba Wallace, you know. Who
Don
should
Lemon
be?
Is calling Bubba Watson, by the way.
Well, it's close enough for Don Lemon. And it goes on Don Lemon and everything else. And rather than being halfway intelligent, but I'm saying I'm glad it wasn't, but I really appreciate
it. Yeah, but it wasn't racism.
It wasn't racism.
No, he's doubling down.
What he basically was indicating is that these were nooses put up, sort of like Confederate flags. They were just kind of a symbol back at the old Talladega speed tracks, showing, you know, because everybody wanted to lynch blacks. And so they put these on the door to remind everybody that they wanted to lynch blacks. And so, it wasn't directed to him, but it was racist.
Other stuff.
And the incredible CEO of NASCAR, Steve Phelps, I think his name is, he said, we got to look at this closer. We got a different angle here. We can invent something.
These people are stupid. It's like Roger Goodell that's, you know, we're going to encourage everybody to kneel. Well, guess what? Nobody's going to watch your games.
No.
Well, they will.
What's your prediction?
You'd be surprised.
Prediction on, is it going to work? I mean, how much, or at a certain point, do you think, people just, there's so much hysteria, so much, you know, again, panic porn about all kinds of stuff constantly that people tune it out. Or, I don't know, if you're Trump, are you?
Or is it P.T. Barnum's, no one ever went broke underestimating the intelligence of Americans?
Well, Trump is letting this play out. I mean, he could easily stop the protests and riots and statues. I think he's fine with letting the cities and states, this is their jurisdiction. If they want to run roughshod over their own cities, the media will cover it, the people will see it. I think he's just sitting back and letting them make fools of themselves.
Right. Well, and mostly, and I hopefully then too, fighting back on the economy front, because I think that would just be for so many people devastating. And it is astonishing to me, as you pointed out at the beginning, the Democrats, they don't, like AOC, they don't care that lives and dreams and families are being destroyed, right? And businesses.
Do you think Robespierre cared?
No, no.
We're destroying some local businesses here while we're chopping off the heads.
They do not care. AOC has her salary. She's got her campaign war chest that's paying, you know, who knows what. So she's living high on the hog. She's got whatever security she needs. It's not going to hurt her. What is she?
She was just reelected last night, or won the primary, which is equivalent to reelection in New York. And the district next to her, she got her kind of whackable person in there too. So she is flying high. It's good times to be a social justice warrior.
Yeah. Well, the inner cities are destroying themselves, and that's, I think, Trump's happy to sit back and let it happen. Manhattan's not going to vote for him. LA's not going to. Portland, Seattle. So he doesn't, from a political point of view, it's like, fine, destroy yourselves and let the rest of the state observe that, and let the rest of Washington, the rest of California, upstate New York, observe all of that and say, hey, you know, we have to pay for all that.
But you'd hope one or two Republicans would come out, you know, occasionally.
Out there marching, so he's... No, it's a very good point. Where are the Republicans?
Well, and
Tom Cotton's the only one that said anything. And look at to do that caused it the New York Times. Got the editor. Right.
Then he gets banned. But you got to wonder if it's going to start. I mean, I was seeing in the Denver Post today, and actually in all of the Denver media, they were covering there's a massive homeless encampment now set up right across from a middle school, right? One of the parents was Maury Middle School. And he was saying they've even set up, this is entrepreneurship. I got to give him that. They've got a blue tent that's like the prostitution tent, right? So the women, go in there, and then they go next door to the other tent, and then they buy their drugs. So you go in there.
What color is a drug tent?
I don't know. He didn't say. Okay. He just knew the green, prostitution.
Maybe green. Maybe. You would think the prostitution tent would have been red, but maybe not.
You have to go with what you get.
Yeah.
But anyway, so, you know, the stupid people of Denver saying, "Gol, I hope they really clean this up." And I thought to myself, this is a school, I don't know if you were aware of this, that if we had stayed in Denver,
The street from where we live.
Rev would have been going 14th. To this middle school. And there are at least some parents saying, hello, hopefully we can get this cleaned up, at least a prostitution tent before kids go back to school.
But it's named after John Maury. And
he is racist.
He's got to be a racist of some sort.
You're looking at this all wrong. This is very clever of the city. You've got the prostitutes there to teach sex education. The homeless to teach survival skills and education.
The drug addicts to teach chemistry. They could do a good job on chemistry.
Teach you how to, you know, how to make meth, you know, acid-base and heating and chemical reactions.
Yeah.
You know, physics of what happens when you take a stick to somebody's head, you know, applause. You can get some white progressives down there to teach history. So it's going to save the school district so much money. They're ahead of their time.
Better than homeschooling.
Better than homeschooling. That's right.
Street schooling. Get out in the street. The homeless will teach you.
Entrepreneurship at its best. Well, you know, again, I just got to think at a certain point, at least some people must be looking at that and saying, you know what, I'm going to move to the suburbs. You know, I'm going to move where number one.
Move to Westminster where the social justice warriors and the women from Emerge control the council. Yes, sir. That'll save you. You betcha. No problem there.
In Denver, the suburbs are the city. It's unfortunate. Moving to rural Colorado or out of state.
I did see a next door. There is hope. There's hope for all of us.
This is so great because Julie is so positive. She's saying, isn't this great? Isn't this great? This is a perfect time. It couldn't get better.
Somebody was complaining about roosters and pointed out they were hearing roosters, I guess, and they were saying that the roosters are bothering them and they're, isn't this illegal? Somebody should do something. And then somebody put on Roosters Lives Matter.
They folded. Quickly folded.
And then there were all these funny comments saying, oh, the social justice warriors are going to be out to get you. But there are more people who thought it was funny than thought it was not funny. That's a plus.
That's a plus.
These days, you got to be careful whose lives matter.
Some don't.
Well, as a doctor, that's got to be tricky for you, huh?
Yeah.
As
a doctor.
Some eyes matter.
All eyes matter.
I'm sorry. You have to do it. Well, listen, Frank, once again, want to let folks know you're going to be filling in for us on Monday.
Yes. Can't wait.
That's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And you've got a new column up. Where can people keep their eyes out for all of your articles?
I write for American Thinker. I'll have something coming up in Rasmussen Reports in their opinion section.
Great.
I write for The Villager, which is a local paper.
Competitor of our paper. We should have you write for us. What's going on here?
Bob Sweeney got to me first. So
Bob is tricky.
Every other week column there. I have Facebook page, LinkedIn page, Twitter.
Are you paying you? Are you getting paid anything?
No, I don't get paid.
All right, that's good.
Labor of love. Make me an offer, you know.
Okay.
I want to be syndicated.
All right.
So you are all over the place, though, and you've got something coming up. But as soon as you get off our show, you get it done.
Yeah, no, I enjoy writing. It's fun, and there's plenty to write about these days. So
yeah, sure is.
No shortage of topics there, and I look forward to guest hosting on Monday.
That'll be great. People will love it.
All right, Brian, thank you so much for your time. Appreciate it as always.
And take care. Thanks, guys.
All right.
Take care. See ya.
Brian June up there, who predicted last week, he said, you look, they're going to pivot. They're going to go to COVID. I think, you know, what he said is perfect. It's like, we got to just remember that anytime you watch anything or hear anything in the media, the mainstream corporate media, you have to look at their whole point is to make sure that Donald Trump does not get elected. And so whatever they write, whatever they do, that's what they're gearing up toward.
All right. Well, let's talk before we get Jimmy Mack on. I look forward to talking to him. He'll be great. About Synergenics, which are doctors who invented age management medicine to skyrocket your quality of life. And that's really true. There are just so many things that make up your day-to-day existence that you can control, though you didn't know it, whether it's your vitamins, whether it's your hormones, your diet, your exercise, everything all part. And Julie McCallum at Synergenics is happy to talk to you in a free consultation. All you need to do is call 720-387-3681. Find out what they can do for you, how they can improve your life and make it those years, every year, count. That's Julie McCallum at Synergetics, 720-387-3681. Or you can look them up at Synergenics, Cenegenics, on the web. And if you talk to Julie, tell her Chuck and Julie sent you.
Yeah, tell her Chuck and Julie sent you. Well, before we bring Jimmy Mack on here in a couple minutes, I want to just real briefly, because we touched on it, but get back to it. Very good news today. See, there's so much good news out there. Good news on the Flynn case.
Yes.
The
shocking reversal of fortune. The two women Republicans voted to demand that the writ of mandamus be enforced and that Sullivan dismiss the case against General Flynn. Wilkins, the Obama appointee, who's also an African-American, very much railed against it. It was interesting because Henderson is kind of a country club Republican, very meek and mild, and Rao is a very much of a Trumpian one. So she wrote the opinion. And if you listen to the broadcast of the arguments, I'd say almost everyone said,
thought this was not going to go this way.
I clerked on the Court of Appeals. I'd listen to that one, said, no, you know, Henderson's going with Wilkinson. And you have to understand that these sometimes, you know, when they get back in the room and start arguing, it can be very interesting. Sometimes they go to each other's offices and sometimes the clerks become involved and they have their own opinions. And sometimes none of that happens, but you never know for sure. But I promise you, there was a lot of drama to get Henderson to go from her position that she was articulating
during the arguments
to go over to Rao. And Rao obviously if you have the majority opinion, you give it to whoever's going on the other side, they write theirs, and you get to see it, so you get to re-revise your one, and she did, and she just blasted Wilkins. Just let him have it. Wilkins let them have it, and she in turn let him have it. It's well worth the reading. If you want to read some fun legal prose, you can go to the opinion, which is
so
up
so bottom line, then, the appellate court said that the Department of Justice can drop the charges against General Flynn. Yes. Now, what do you think? Do you think Sullivan, this is my prediction, again, looking at through the lens of what Dr. Jundup was just telling us, I wonder if Sullivan is going to refuse to do that
in order to keep this. No, he won't.
Can he appeal it?
Well, that's it.
To the full court?
Seeking to the, it's called an en banc hearing, and there are 11 judges. Some circuits allow senior judges to participate in en banc. Most do not. Seven of the 11 regular active judges are Democrats, while six of seven of the senior judges are Republicans. So if they allowed it, and I don't think they do, but he could do that. He could try to appeal it to the Supreme Court, maybe get a writ of mandamus against the Court of Appeals for their writ of mandamus against the district court. But apparently, and I'm not sure it's a matter of confidence or a matter of strategy, but General Flynn's been on the radio today. And Sidney Powell, and they'll be on, I'm sure, Sean Hannity tonight. Normally, you don't want your client
talking
until the case has been decided. They're kind of, it's over.
We'll see. Hopefully for General Flynn's sake. We're switching gears now. We want to bring on grassroots Republican Jimmy Mack.
Jim McFarland. He heads up the North Jeffco Tea Party, one of the great groups in the state. I think they, along with the Arapaho Tea Party, are two great ones here in the Colorado area.
And I think, Jimmy, I saw you. There you go. So, yeah.
There he is. Ta-da!
So we wanted to bring you on. I think you've had a new career as an investigative reporter. to talk about. So we've got... interestingly, we have in this current race, the Republican primary,
which is Tuesday. You got to get your vote in by Tuesday.
By the 30th. We've got Democrats acknowledging that they are contributing dark money. Hundreds of thousands of dollars against what we would consider to be the establishment candidates. So, I mean, that's kind of interesting.
For the establishment candidates.
But now what we also have, though, and we have sources who tell us, and I want you to kind of go into this a little bit more, we also have establishment Republicans not just supporting their candidate, but pretending and setting up fake Facebook pages to trash the conservative candidate.
Well, you tell us about it, Jimmy.
Tell us. You uncover all this.
Well, I wish I could say that one tiny little bit of what you just said was not quite accurate, but I'm afraid it's 100% true. What I have said all along, ever since I've been involved in politics, I got involved when I was very young. I'm 100 years old now, so I've been doing this about 80 years. And what the Democrats typically, particularly in Colorado, have to fight Republicans. But the Republicans have to fight Democrats and Republicans.
Yes.
So it's a little frustrating. What you just said is very true. They call it dark money that is going into three different races in Colorado. And to my understanding, in the interest of full disclosure, I actually read some of this information that was posted online by my friend Leslie Hollywood. I know you know who Leslie Hollywood is.
Sure.
She is just a fantastic researcher. And she actually came up with the name, or a name, which is Catherine Murdoch. And
yes.
I think it is her and maybe her family's deep pockets that have sponsored, to my understanding, quite a few, maybe as many as 10 or 12 different races. Well, I don't want to say sponsored. I want to say she's playing in races around the country, and by
yeah,
that,
we have friends back in New York who know Catherine.
And they say flat out true.
She's in 10 races throughout the country, three in Colorado, she is a big climate activist. She's a big
Murdoch.
Well, I know, but her father-in-law is Rupert Murdoch, who owns Fox News and some other ones. But while Rupert is generally speaking conservative, Catherine is very liberal. She gave lots of money to the Clinton Foundation, she's very much a person who's a do-gooder. You know, she thinks that she'll solve the world's problems.
Yes.
So they convinced, she was giving a lot of money to something called Unite America, which was running third-party candidates, and including in Colorado. That flopped. So she's funneling her money into Unite America, is funneling that money into Colorado
Republican primaries,
and there's a group called Republicans for for constitutional values.
Republicans who are really Democrats.
They're really Democrats. And it's just amazing that because you kind of go, wait a minute, we don't control the Senate, we don't control the House, we don't control it. Yeah, but you're so much fun to beat up on.
Well, let me ask you this. I mean, it's not shocking to me, really, that the Democrats are trying to meddle in Republican primaries. You kind of expect that, right? But the fact that you discovered what you have then are what appear to be establishment Republicans equally meddling, right? I mean, there was a guy who was posting anti-Justin Everett, who's running for the Colorado legislature. He's the grassroots guy. Colin Larson is the establishment guy. And some guy named Scooter Anderson suddenly starts popping up all over on Facebook trashing Justin Everett. Why don't you tell us about that and what you found out?
Right. You're absolutely correct, Julie. Scooter Anderson, what a great, phony profile name.
Right.
Scooter Anderson. And you're right about Justin Everett. Justin is, there is probably no such thing as a perfect politician, but he comes pretty damn close. When he was in the legislature, he was a very reliable conservative vote. Matter of fact, he voted no on so many things. You know, they called him Dr. No or Justin Neverett. I appreciate that about him. And I guess his biggest crime, as it were, is that he is one of the several Republicans who is kind of aligned, I guess you could say, or endorsed by Rocky Mountain gun owners, Dudley Brown.
Right. Now,
if that's the worst that you can say about someone, then that's not that bad. Rocky Mountain gun owners does what? They try to protect the Second Amendment here in Colorado.
Right.
So anyway, back to Scooter Anderson. Yes, there is I spend probably a lot more time on Facebook than I should. But I was at one time the elected secretary of the Jefferson County Republican Party. And there was a little bit of consternation back in those days. Again, this was 100 years ago, because there was a Facebook page called Jefferson County Republicans. And then there was another Facebook page that clearly tried to mirror that one. They even had the same background picture and profile.
Yeah.
Yes. And so we talked with those folks and said, hey, man, can you change your name or something? And then they did finally throw us a bone, and they changed their name to Jefferson County Republicans Unofficial.
Unofficial.
And so that is where a lot of people go to talk about Republican politics in Jefferson County and in Colorado. So that's where
I must admit it's a lot more fun site than the official site.
I will admit that too. It really, really is. You can kind of say whatever you want to say, and this often leads to fights between grassroots and Republicans. And so someone, actually there were two or three, I'm trying to make a long story short. I don't think I've ever been able to do that, but I'm going to try.
That's all right.
There were two or three clearly establishment supporters who were very anti Justin Everett and very pro Colin Larson. Now, I know Colin Larson. I consider him a friend. He has come to speak at our Tea Party meeting. He's not the devil. If you want to talk about bad politicians, he's a lot better than many, but he is one of the few Republicans that did get elected, and so we kind of have to take his district very seriously, which gets back around to the Murdoch money, the dark money. They play in these races in these specific districts because it is practically impossible to get a Democrat elected in some of these districts. One or two of them are in Jefferson County, one or two of them are in Weld County.
Right.
And so they, instead of trying to get a Democrat elected, which is what they would ultimately love to do, a very liberal, tree-hugging, socialist, climate change candidate, instead they just want to get the
tree hugging climate establishment Republican in there.
Yes, and so that's what they're trying to do. And my question is, well, look, if you are a legitimate Republican candidate and you, and it became determined that money was coming to your, money was being donated to you from verified
Democrats,
let's just call it what it is, verified Democrats, wouldn't the thing to do, I mean, you could campaign off this, wouldn't the thing to do be to make a public statement and say, you know, ladies and gentlemen, yesterday, 30, 40, 50,000, however much it was, dollars came into my account, and then I did a little research and found out that it was from Democrats, and so you know what I did? I turned around and sent it right back to them because
well, you can't send it back because it's independent expenditure, so there's no sending back.
That's the thing. That is the devil is in the details, and that is correct. They can they have plausible deniability. They can say, "Hey, listen, this was this didn't go to me. This didn't go to my."
Well, here's what they don't have plausible deniability because we have talked to people who said that there were establishment Republican people. Should we say the name?
No.
Okay, the establishment Republican people.
Because we don't know it for sure, and they didn't know it for sure.
Who were reportedly actively seeking.
They were guessing
out
who Scooter Anderson was, and said, "Sure, sounds like somebody used to be down at the legislature."
Yes.
And it sounds like somebody who has a consulting firm who used to be down at the legislature. And so you can start drawing those circles to smaller and smaller ones.
Who were seeking out Democrat money. So they don't have plausible deniability.
And
they were seeking out the Democrat money.
Yeah, so they're Republican consultants advising Rhino Republicans, I guess is a short
right,
word,
exactly. So
going to Democrats saying, hey,
can you give
some money?
Right, exactly. And so for your viewers that may not know the Scooter Anderson story, I'll wrap it up real quickly. I noticed this persona, shall we say, this person, quote unquote, on Facebook who was really coming to Colin Larson's defense and really being against Justin Everett. And I thought, gosh, if I didn't know better, I might think that this person actually is Colin Larson, but that didn't make any sense to me you know, Colin may be a lot of things, but he's not stupid.
Right.
He's not that stupid.
Right.
But I think the person you were just talking about is that stupid. So I went to Scooter Anderson's Facebook page and I started to search and it had all the telltale signs of a fake account, a fake profile. First of all, this Scooter Anderson didn't even exist on Facebook until about late March or early April.
Right.
Yeah.
And pardon me. And he, let's see, has no actual photographs of himself. That's a big, because, I mean, come on, let's face it. A lot of people are on Facebook to to promote themselves. Hey, here's me on vacation. Here's the dinner I just cooked. Here's my dog. Right. Here's, you know, so I'm scrolling down his wall, as it were, on Facebook, and I see a picture of a young lady, and it's actually a photograph of a photograph. And the caption was from Scooter Anderson, "I was going through some things, and I found this old picture of my sister. Mm-hmm. It's hard to believe she's been gone 10 years now. When she died in that car crash." And I thought, gosh, what? First of all, that's a shame. That's sad. That's tragic. But if this truly is this man's sister, then gosh, if I can find out who she is, maybe we can find out who he is. So long story short, I did some very cursory research and this is not
his sister.
Scooter Anderson's sister. This turns out to be an Iranian-American young lady who is a college student in Hawaii. And she's very much alive. I know that because I've been emailing her.
That's great.
And she has a very cool name, Galara Khoi, K-H-O-I-E. And she's an art student. And what she was doing this art project where every day, every morning, she would get up and cut out letters iron-on letters for a T-shirt that would make a certain statement, a certain saying, a certain sentence, and she would iron it on a T-shirt, put the T-shirt on, and take a picture of her wearing the T-shirt.
That's art.
You know, it's a little conceptual and
a good word.
Nonetheless, though,
good.
So you contacted her and said, "Hey, look, are you dead?"
Yeah. When you make it back,
you were able to find a bunch of pictures of her. Not only is she not dead, she has no clue who this Scooter Anderson is. He just ripped off basically a random picture of some young woman. That's creepy in and of itself, I would say. But
it is creepy and disgusting, and you know, I'm pretty thick-skinned. I don't get offended very easily. I give as well as I get. But this Scooter Anderson person, whoever it is, and I think the three of us all have a very good idea who it is. His profile picture is a Bible with a revolver on it. And many, many posts on his Facebook page of, you know, God, guns, and babies, and... And he posts Bible verses and this kind of thing. And I'm thinking, look, man, if you will stoop so low as to just steal a random picture from a random young lady from Facebook and post it on your Facebook page and say, this is my dead sister. She's been gone 10 years because of that damn car crash. Oh, I sure miss her. Then are you also lying about being a Christian or about your sexual values?
Oh, God. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, so...
And here's the thing. I mean, we don't, the tragic thing is, and I want to get your take in this. So, you know, we don't need to worry about the Russians. We don't need to
Well, that was the other one, you know. You kind of go, is she a Russian? Oh, that's a chance.
We don't have to worry about the establishment Republicans. Here's my thing. Why? I mean, okay, if you want to put up fake, phony Facebook pages and attack candidates, I know that's attack the Democrat candidate.
They don't do that.
I could understand.
They don't do that.
Because I'll tell you what, a Democrat fence tell us they do that, right? But they said, we are smarter than that. We would find
Yeah, they said, no, that's a Republican consultant. They said, we got more money and we're a little more intelligent.
But we post fake Facebook pages. We make sure we have somebody who will cover for us. I mean,
that's right. So now I don't know if you're, I hope your viewers just caught what you just said. I know that Chuck and Julie have good friends who are Democrats and Democrat operatives. They're very active behind the scenes in the Democrat party. And what Chuck and Julie just said is that they asked their Democrat friends if this kind of tactic, if this Scooter Anderson was them. And they said, no, we're not that stupid.
No, that's a Republican consultant. He says, this is just the perfect kind of dumb, but, you know, they think themselves smart and they think themselves tricky. He says, you know, and they came up with a couple of names. They thought, oh, this is, we checked some other people who came up. And a lot of names came up with somebody who's big on the Second Amendment, was in the legislature. And as a Republican.
But so it's just like, I want to smack them and say, we are in the fight for our lives here in this state. If you've got extra money, if you've got extra time on your hands, establishment Republican types, rather than creating Facebook pages to go after Republicans, go after Democrats, or better yet, let's just play fair and at least target own people.
But, you know, let me get your thoughts on this, Jimmy. I mean, I haven't talked to you about it, but I was shocked that Eli Bremmer and Wayne Williams and behind the scenes Southers, and I suppose behind those scenes, Anschutz, all go after Ken Buck. So, well, let's go to the Denver Post and trash Buck. Yeah, let's go after the Republican chairman. I mean, that'll do it.
Hickenlooper. Yeah. That's trash Hickenlooper. Plenty to talk about.
No, all these guys who you know, Republicans had from, I think Matt Arnold calls them the Montana the mountain, what is it? Monument Hill Mafia. I mean, they're just amazing. The Republican, there's nobody more dysfunctional than Colorado Republicans. Nobody. I mean, nobody.
That is correct. I don't know what it is about El Paso County. And to be fair, I know some great people El Paso County, some great El Paso County Republicans. But, oh, my God, they are just incorrigible when it comes to, I mean, I don't know what their problem is with Ken Buck. The argument could be made pretty easily, I think, that we have had more effective state chairs in the past, but
Well, no, we haven't.
Yeah.
Who are you talking about? Who was a more effective state chair? You talking about the 50s or something?
Yeah, I am. Yeah. Yeah.
Because I can't think of anyone in the 21st century that was quote unquote effective.
But you make a great point. Why go after Ken Buck when there's so much other low hanging fruit? Hickenlooper, for God's sake, man. Yeah, I mean,
right. And here's the thing, and sometimes, you know, people criticize us and say, well, why are you attacking Republicans? And we're not attacking Republicans. We're attacking establishment Republicans.
Well, they're not Republicans.
And the reason,
right.
The reason is, and I don't, you know, it's like, because they're attacking us. And it's the same kind of thing the Democrats do. It's like, well, you just be silent, right? You better be quiet, because if you don't, then, you know, whatever. And it's like, I'm tired of being silent, right? It's like, no, you can't tear down our statues. No, you can't trash. If you don't like the conservative or the grassroots Republican, don't vote for them.
Well, here's one of the things, and there are four races, the Senate race and three up in Adams County, Weld County, between establishment Republicans and real real Republicans.
Yes.
And you cannot go to their Facebook pages or their campaign sites and see one iota difference. Not one, because establishment Republicans never run on their own ideas. No. They're all Second Amendment. Oh, you know, Colin Larson says, oh, let's cut the budget. Oh, okay, I'll vote for full time kindergarten. Yay.
I'm just
they run false flags. If they ran, you know, with who they were and what they believed in. You know, we believe in killing babies. We believe in wasting money. We believe on, you know,
taking your guns.
Taking your guns.
That's right. That's right. You know,
people and stuff.
A little, little bit of gun control is okay, and a little bit of,
just reasonable restrictions. Just
Jimmy, give us hope then, because there are a ton of people
That's what Julie's here for.
I know. You found this out. You exposed it. Hopefully this person, if he's posting, people are like commenting.
I haven't seen any more posts by Scooter since you added him.
I think Scooter has gone back into hiding, but I bet we'll see Scooter again. I predict
under another name.
Scooter next time, I think, will very likely be, I'm just guessing, just going to go out on a limb here, a black woman. Just gonna
Right, there you go.
But you deal with this all the time. To me, I think what's good, again, let's my role here, but I think what's good is Republicans and grassroots Republicans have not just woken up, but they are taking their power back. I mean, look at the kind of stuff that they've been able
to
do.
Well, we'll find that out on Tuesday.
All right,
we'll find that out on Tuesday.
That is true. That is very true. And I hope and pray that Julie is right. We have had a little hiatus, if you will, with our Tea Party meetings because of the coronavirus and the stay-at-home orders and all this. And we decided this very last, week and a half or so, in the month of June, we meet the third Thursday of every month. We decided we were going to go back to having our meetings. And we had our first comeback meeting in a city park, and we had a great turnout. We had like, I want to say 50 or 60 people showed up. Many, many candidates showed up to speak. And I really got a feeling that now, of course, admittedly, these are Tea Party people. These are grassroots people. These are activists. These are liberty people. They're not rhinos. They're not establishment by any stretch of the imagination. But I really get the impression that people in general, Coloradoans, as well as Heartland Americans, are tired of the liberal overreach, and they're ready for a change. And I think, as you all know, as you both know, in Colorado, as well as Jefferson County, it's typically the vote is divided one-third, one-third, one-third. A third Democrat, a third Republican, a third unaffiliated. And so typically what people focus on is the unaffiliated votes. You can assume, usually fairly correctly, that if you're a Republican, you're going to get the Republican votes. You will not get the Democrat votes. So let's go for the unaffiliated. And I think unaffiliateds are tired of being told, listen, we've got this coronavirus pretty much under control. The danger is waning. The curve has flattened just like we wanted it to. Keep wearing a mask or we're going to fine you and maybe throw you in jail. So
maybe throw you in jail after we let the murderers out.
Yeah, well, exactly.
The only thing I disagree with you about is there's one-third Republican, Republican-leaning people. There's one-third Democrat or Democratic-leaning people. And one-third are mail ballot, harvest ballots out of old age homes and everything else, which is why we lose all our elections. I mean, I'm always amazed by you get people like Dick Wallace. When do we become so liberal? You didn't. What part of it don't you get? They right. harvest these from old homes, you know, before they give them COVID.
I mean, absolutely this right. is... You know, the last time I spoke with Chuck, he gave me a phone call, and I was at that very moment when he called me, I was dropping off my ballot from the comfort of my car right. In the ballot drop-off box. And I think the rule is if you want to, you can bring as many as 10 other people's ballots with
yes.
you.
Yes.
When I say rule, I mean the law.
Right.
And there was no one there, not that I would want anyone to be there getting up in my face, but I mean,
some kind of security measure.
The Democrats yeah. will use every possible way that they can to rig an election.
And they will. They'll just say we just want to make sure every vote counted. Right. Yeah, we turned in 100, and we just because we wanted yeah. to make sure their vote counted.
Yeah, yeah.
Jimmy, we're out of time here. Thank okay. you for coming.
Well,
on.
Jimmy, third Thursday.
Yes.
And people can find out about it just going North Jeffco Tea Party site?
North Jeffco Tea Party on Facebook. North Jeffco Tea Party. And we will have the announcement of our next meeting there. And I believe the third Thursday of July, I think, is the 16th. We would love to have everyone watching coming to visit our meeting. And Chuck and Julie, you are welcome to come back anytime you care to.
Love doing it.
You'll always be loved. You're one of our favorites.
Well, you're Jimmy McFarland, everybody. Just a great patriot and a great Republican.
All right.
Thanks,
Jimmy. Thank you for coming.
All right. We'll see you again.
That is going to do it for us. I want to remind folks you can catch all of our podcasts at chuckandjulie.com. That'll link you to the archive podcast. It'll link you to our Facebook page. If you get a chance, sure appreciate it if you could like and subscribe to our Facebook page. To Friday, we got Patrick Neville coming up, Minority Report. Yeah. Who knows? I think we'll talk about it all. There's so much going on right now, too. We haven't even really talked about the whole statue thing. Thank you to our sponsors, ColoradoCitizenPress.com and Cenogenics.
And we'll be back on Party Friday.
See you then.
Take care.